This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. We love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We love to have that holy conversation with you, and that means you got to call us. Can't have conversation if you don't call. So I'm going to give you that toll-free number right here at the beginning of the program. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It is toll-free for you, as I mentioned. And we have Matt Gabinski on the phones today. He is eager to hear from you, but no more eager than I. When you call, be sure to wish him a great big old howdy hey, and he'll give you a big old howdy hey back. And he'll take your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration, your word of encouragement, and he'll get it up on the board, and we'll be able to retrieve it and take it. Jeff Burson out there in social media land, he is also our producer. So go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you'll be able to use the chat feature there to get all of that up on the board. And we'll be happy to see what's going on in your world today. We're very excited about the fact that we have this opportunity to use the airwaves for the greater glory and honor of God. And here we are. We have begun the Advent season and so much going on. And I do want to remind you about something really wonderful that's happening. Father John Paul Mary Zeller is going to be with me at Malvern Retreat House the weekend of December 17th through the 19th for an Advent retreat. It's really a perfect time. I know you're saying, oh my goodness, but it's the last weekend before Christmas and all. There's always all of these last minute details. So I'm going to ask you, just be a little bit more organized this year and get those done so that you can join us there. You know, what a beautiful way to enter into that last week of Advent as we make final preparation for the coming of the Christ child into our hearts. You know, oftentimes we get all jammed up with everything that's going on at this time of the year, and we kind of put the spiritual necessities to the side. This is an opportunity to really focus on that which is most important, and that is the coming of Christ into our hearts in a new way. Every time we celebrate this beautiful season of the year, God has abundant graces for us to receive. We simply have to go to the manger to receive them. We're going to give you that opportunity right there at Malvern Retreat House, December 17th through the 19th. The theme is Advent. Advent, a time for hope, healing, and new life. It is indeed a time of preparation. And we're going to be talking about hope. We're going to be talking about healing. We're going to be talking about new life. And all of the talks are organized around that beautiful hymn that we pray, O come, Emmanuel. I'm really excited about the talks that we're going to be giving, and I know it's going to be a holy, holy time for you. Father John Paul was with us on the air yesterday, and if you listened or if you watched us out there on YouTube or Facebook, you know that he brought relics with him. One relic, yes, a first-class relic of St. Maximilian Kolbe, a piece of his beard. Can you imagine such a thing? That relic will be with us for this retreat, as well as a relic of St. Pio of Pietrelcina, better known as Padre Pio. And I just know that God has great things in mind. So, you know, if the Holy Spirit's prompting you, what I like to say is don't frustrate the Holy Spirit. Say yes, because God's got lots of things in mind for you to receive. Today is also an exciting day, and it's exciting because we're starting a brand new thing today. And that is that the last Tuesday of every month, we are going to have John Martinoni with us. Now, many of you remember John Martinoni from being one of the hosts on Open Line that is heard Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio. And he did a marvelous job on that program presenting apologetics to us. So good, in fact, that I thought, well, geez, you know, we should really have him on once a month because we need these questions answered, especially for those of you that are pondering coming into the Catholic faith or have had questions about why the church teaches what it is that she does teach. John can answer those questions for you. And he's written a wonderful book, and we're going to kind of use it as the backbone. So I want to let you know that it's available for you at EWTNRC.com. That's the website of EWTN's religious catalog. And it's called Blue Collar Apologetics, How to Explain and Defend Catholic Teaching Using Common Sense, Simple Logic, and the Bible. The last part is my favorite. Common sense, simple logic, and the Bible. And I'm holding it up, so if you're out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, you can see the cover of it. It's available for you at EWTNRC.com. So John is going to be with us every Tuesday, the last Tuesday of every month is better phrased, the last Tuesday of every month. And I'm hoping that you will call in today with your questions. So without further ado, before we even go to that first break, let me introduce you to John Martinoni. John, I'm so glad you're with us.
Johnette, it is, as always, an honor and a pleasure to be on your program, radio or TV.
Thank you. Well, I recently had you on television about this book, and I was just so impressed with the way that you've organized it.
Well,
and
thank you.
It is John Martinoni to a T. You can hear your radio voice coming through, you know, the
yes.
pages of,
that,
of this
I was so
book.
Happy when I was writing it, the editor, because that was, I've had other things edited by people, not full books, but articles, and they try to take my voice out of it.
Yep.
And this editor left my voice in. I was just so happy with the whole process. It was a very wonderful experience.
Yeah, well, this is EWTN Publishing. We wouldn't
yes.
expect less.
That's absolutely right.
You know, and it's so much fun. But you are right about something, you know, having been a literature teacher for a number of years. What is it that marks an author? What marks an author, in addition to their intellectual capacity to communicate ideas, is the voice that they use, their voice. So you never want to get that edited out. And for any of you that write, you know, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. But it's a very important feature. And we often, I can recall often asking my students about the voice of the author, right?
Right, absolutely. And that's, you know, I'm a Southern guy.
Yes,
okay?
You are.
And when I talk, I say things like y'all and stuff like that. And I say, well, you know what? And I put that in the book. And they didn't take any of that out. So you hear my, you can almost hear my drawl at times. But it was just a wonderful experience. EWTN Publishing was just, they were great to work with. And I was just so happy with the result that,
yeah.
that came from the process.
Well, I'll tell you what else comes through very clearly, and it's part of who you are, and that is the capacity to explain things in a very logical fashion. You know, you don't quite use the Socratic method in that you're not asking a whole lot of questions, though you do, but you're leading us along a train of thinking that helps us to arrive at the right conclusion, and that's a beautiful gift.
Well, and that's something that logic has always been. When I was a child, my hero was Mr. Spock. When I was 8, 9, 10 years old, my hero. And I remember one time my dad said something to me, and I said, "That's not logical, Father." You know, and here I'm saying, an 8-year old saying this to my dad who had a PhD in chemistry, and he looked at me, he said, "What the heck are you talking about?" I said, "That wasn't logical." And he looked at me, and I, so logic has been, so I have to understand it.
That's right.
And once I understand it, and I understand it, I go from A to B to C to D. I can't go from A to E.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't do, there are people out there who can do that.
Yep.
I can't do that. So I have to break it down in those little steps. And so then when I present it, that's exactly what you said. People have said that's one of my strengths, is being able to present it in such a way that everybody, I mean, I have 8 and 9-year-olds listening to and reading my stuff and understanding it and using it.
Yeah. And that's the important thing. So I think that y'all are going to really, to use the Southern phrase, I think y'all are going to really enjoy listening to us as we have this opportunity the last Tuesday of every month right here on Women of Grace Live with John Martinoni. And I'm excited to kick it off today, and I'm happy you're with us. And we want lots and lots and lots of questions for John today. We're going to be talking about Mary, Mother of God, as we enter into this Advent season. But any question is open for you. We're going to be right back. 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and you just heard those numbers. I'm going to repeat them for you. Toll free for you right here in North America, it's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. As I like to say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to get to your questions. Yesterday, I was so frustrated because you all started to call in like in the last 2 minutes of the program. I was like, oh my goodness. So don't do that today. We've got John Martinoni with us. us. And if you're just joining us, I want to share with you the good news that John is going to be with us the last Tuesday of every month. We're going to be talking about apologetics. This is the time to get all of the questions answered that you might have regarding why the church teaches what she teaches, and helping you to understand it both through logic and through common sense and through sacred scripture. And as I shared earlier, you might remember John was one of the hosts on Open Line that's heard here on EWTN Radio Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm just so happy that he's going to be with us every month to answer your questions. I also want to remind you about that beautiful Advent retreat that's coming up at Malvern. Father John Paul, Mary Zeller, and myself, we're going to be there December the 17th through the 19th. So check it out at our website, womenofgrace.com. You can actually register there. It's on the homepage for you under events. You can click on the word events up there in the navigational bar. It'll take you there too. And as I was sharing with you, we're really excited about it. But I am so excited John's here. And you know, John, I thought that, you know, here we are, we're beginning Advent. There's a lot of questions about our Blessed Lady. There's a lot of confusion about who she is and who she was and remains, I would say, in God's plan for salvation. Some look at her and say, well, she was a just-do kind of a thing. You know, she'll do. You know, right. God looked out and said, she'll do. But that was never God's plan, and we know that. And she is truly the Mother of God. So I thought, wow, what a great topic for us to discuss right here at the beginning of Advent. So talk with us a little bit about Our Lady and what sacred scripture tells us and why the church does teach what she teaches.
Well, happy to, love to, and I'll frame it in an apologetics with an apologetics context.
Okay.
When I first got into doing apologetics publicly, mm-hmm. it was on a radio show on the largest evangelical radio station in the state of Alabama. They had played an anti-Catholic program several months before. I had complained and said, you need to let a Catholic come on and respond. One thing led to another, and I wound up doing a one-hour live show every week doing Catholic apologetics on this evangelical radio station.
I totally love it.
Well, and it was on Sunday night, and the program before us was a woman, a Protestant, who I don't know if she was Methodist, evangelical, what she was, but she had a show on. And so as we're walking into the studio, and I say we, myself and the people I would get to answer the phones for me, because on Sunday night, the radio station didn't have a staff there. And we would say hello, and, you know, she'd say hello and walk. Well, after a few weeks, she realized we're Catholic. And so she's walking out. One time she said, what is with you Catholics and Mary?
Oh.
Don't you know she was just an incubator for Jesus?
Oh.
Yes. Doesn't that hurt?
Well, it makes me just put your dukes up when you're talking about Our Lady.
And I was stuck. I didn't know what to say. I mean, I was just so caught off guard by, you know, how can you say that? Mm-hmm. You know, this is the mother, whether you call her the Mother of God or not, she's the mother of the Savior of the world, and you're calling her just an incubator for. And I thought about it, and a few weeks later, I did a show on Mary, and I brought that up. I said, yeah. I said, isn't that what it says in Scripture? Who am I that the incubator of my Lord should come to me? You know?
Oh,
said, no, it says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So this is something that, you know, Catholics need to understand and not be intimidated by the Protestant view, or not be affected by the Protestant view of Mary, which is, you know, there are some Protestant denominations, a few who hold her in very high regard, but others basically in reaction to the Catholics' honoring of Mary and loving her so much, they just look at her like, said, well, you know, she'll do. God looks, well, she'll do. But it's not that way. You have to think about this, Catholics. If we as Catholics honored Mary with every breath that we could take, day in and day out for the rest of our lives, we cannot give her as much honor as God himself gave her.
Wow. That's an incredible thought, John.
It is. Mm-hmm. So you cannot, you know, when people say you focus too much on Mary, you can't too much on Mary. God, I mean, think about it. She is the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. No other human being in all of history has ever or will ever have such an incredible relationship with every, with all three persons of the Trinity. No one will ever be so honored as to carry God in her womb. You know, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was so holy that they when they made it, they made these rings on the side that they could put poles in so no one had to touch it to carry it from place to place. And the one story where the guy did touch it because he thought it was falling off the cart, he died because it was so holy. And think about what was in the Ark of the Covenant. The staff of the high priest, some of the manna that had fallen from heaven in the desert, and the word of God in stone, the Ten Commandments. So what was in the womb of Mary? Not the staff of the high priest, but the high priest himself. Not the manna that had fallen to the earth in the desert, but the true bread from heaven himself in the flesh. And not the word of God in stone, but again, the word of God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. How holy was Mary to be able to have Jesus himself, God himself in her womb?
The fulfillment of all of that.
Exactly, exactly. And so, again, as Catholics, we cannot give her as much honor as she deserves.
Yes.
If we tried to, we couldn't do it. And so don't ever, as Catholics, be affected by, you know, I'm not going to pray a Hail Mary in a, setting where there are Protestants present because I don't want to offend. No. When you say a Hail Mary, number one, you're just repeating the words of Scripture. You know, that's what God said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And so just we cannot honor her enough. She does not take us away from Jesus. She points us to Jesus, like at the wedding feast at Cana. Do whatever he tells you. So as Catholics, Mary is the epitome of what we strive to be. Mm-hmm. You know, she is the model for all Christians in terms of as a human being. And we can't honor her enough. We can't love her enough. And so just as Catholics, we need to take this love, this honoring of Mary and share it with our Protestant. Because after first, like you said, when that woman said, don't you know she was just an incubator for Jesus? My first thought was like, how dare you? How could you? What is wrong? But then my second thought was, how sad.
Yeah, how impoverished.
How impoverished. Mm-hmm. That woman was thinking, I mean, would Jesus have ever said that Mary was just an incubator for him, his
no.
mother? So how sad. So we as Catholics have to realize when someone says something about Mary or our love of Mary, our honoring of Mary, don't get angry. Look at it as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. To share something about Mary, you know, I mean, tell people, say, well, you know, she was the son of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the spouse of the Spirit, because I can almost guarantee you they have never thought of her in that way before, and say, you should love her as Jesus loved her, because Jesus fulfilled the commandment, honor thy father and mother perfectly.
Right.
We're to imitate Jesus. Well, he loved Mary. We love Mary.
That's right. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you today. John Martinoni is with us. He is going to be with us the last Tuesday of every month talking about apologetics. Today, we're talking about Mary, Mother of our Lord, Mother of God, one of her most significant titles, which we celebrate on January 1st, right? We recognize her under that title. And we certainly do invite you to call us with questions about Our Lady or questions regarding the birth of our Lord, or questions regarding anything having to do with this season. And we'll take questions that are off topic too. But it's 833-288-EWTN. Do want to send you out also to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Chat feature there for you. You can put your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement in there. And Jeff Burson will grab them and put them out. Matt Gabinski on phones. Be sure to give him a big old howdy hey. You know, I love that. what do I want to call it, analogy or comparison that you use with regard to the Ark of the Old Covenant, because Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant, right? So everything about that Ark of the New, that Old Covenant is a prefigurement of the one who would come and fulfill it, who is Our Lady, right? And so when you look at that, is it in Exodus, John? I think it's in Exodus where there's like two chapters devoted to how this thing should be constructed. I mean, when you look at the care that God took for that, which would be a prefigurement, we can only imagine the care that He took as He knit her in the womb of St. Anne.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It was just, like I said, to get back to, well, she was, you know, God could have picked anybody. She was good enough. Yeah, let's go ahead and we'll go with Mary to be Jesus, to Jesus's mother. No, it was, this is my perfect creation,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is to be the model for all to come after her as human beings, and this is the vessel through which salvation passed into the world.
That's amazing to me.
I know. You know, you think about it. Okay, Eve was the vessel through which sin passed into the world. Mary is the vessel through which salvation passed into the world. And I tell people, because getting to the Immaculate Conception, for example, people say, oh, well, you know, we've all sinned. And I said, well, had Eve sinned? Had Adam sinned? Can God not create someone sinless? And they haven't thought about that usually. And they go, well, yeah, I guess so. I said,
well, he shows us that Adam and Eve were sinless.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I said, well, if he can do it for Adam and Eve, and Eve was the one through whom sin passed into the world, how much more so could he do that? And would he do that for Mary, through whom salvation passed into the world? And what kind of debt of gratitude do we owe to Mary for being that vessel through which salvation passed into the world? You know, and sometimes you just want to grab someone by the shoulder and say, get your head right, brother. You know?
That's a very Southern thing to think.
Yes. So.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Well, we're getting some phone calls here. We invite you to call us too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Jill calling us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana this morning. Good morning to you, Jill. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you.
I'm good.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing dandy. Thank you. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I have a question in reference to relatives coming in, specifically a little daughter-in-law who's Christian, not baptized Catholic, and would like to participate in the Mass when she comes and visit on the holidays. And my question was, does an adult need to be catechized before they receive Jesus in the Eucharist, that's the question.
So what you're asking, she's Christian, she's baptized.
Right.
If she was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the church would recognize that baptism. But she's not a Catholic. So, John, what do we do about Jill's little daughter-in-law that's coming in?
Okay, here's the thing. And depending on the age here of the daughter, I'm assuming from what you're saying, possibly an adult or young adult,
right.
That they can understand what I'm about to say. If you're not Catholic, you cannot receive communion in the Catholic Church, just like Catholics should not receive communion or what's usually called the Lord's Supper in non-Catholic churches. And here's why. The Eucharist is the sign of unity in the church. And it just as between husband and wife, the marital act is the sign that there is a union there. So in communion, when you receive communion into your body, it's as it's like it says in Ephesians 5, it's Jesus and the church becoming one, and each individual as members of the church becoming one with Jesus through this communion, through this Eucharist, this union with Jesus in the Eucharist. And if there is no union, then there should be no communion. And if they're not Catholic, what you need to tell them is when you receive the Eucharist in the Catholic Church, what you are saying with your body, not with your mouth, but with your body, you are saying, I believe as you believe. Mm-hmm. Not just on the Eucharist, which there are Protestants who've told me, oh, I believe it's the body and blood of Jesus. And I say, fine, do you believe in the Immaculate Conception? No. Do you believe in the seven sacraments? No. So if you don't believe all that we believe as Catholics, then if you were to receive communion, you would be lying, in essence, with your body before man and before God. Again, it's like there should be no physical union between male and female until there is a union in place, a marital union. Just so with the Eucharist, until there is a union in place, until someone has joined the Catholic Church and says, I believe as you believe, there should be no union in the Eucharist. Receiving the Eucharist, if you don't believe as we believe, is an analogy is like having physical relations outside of marriage. Protestants don't believe in that. And so you could explain it that way, or you could explain it that, hey, unless you believe as we believe, you shouldn't receive it because it's the sign of unity. Either of those two tracks you could take, and I think she would understand. People have had great success, they've told me, using those lines of thoughts with relatives who, otherwise they would be offended by not being able to receive. If you explain it to them properly, they're generally not offended, and they usually understand.
Yeah. And of course, Jill, she can go up, you know, to the priest, and she can receive a blessing. So she can still participate. And who knows that this might be the beginning of a longing in her heart to be able to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that's the other part of it. She's also saying that she believes that he's body, blood, soul, and divinity. She's not being catechized for that. So it's not, catechesis applies here, but even if she's catechized, she still needs to come into the faith. And she has to make a decision on that before she can receive. So I think, John, you've given Jill and all of us some really good points that we can use when these issues come up. And I'm grateful for your call, Jill. And Susie, I'm going to ask you to hold. We're going to come right back to you. You hear that music, it means we're off to a break here. We're eager to hear from you, too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We're coming right back with John Martinoni. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy you are with us today. Very excited to have John Martinoni in studio with us. John Martinoni is an apologist. He was on Open Line, heard here Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN for a number of years. I don't know how many. Was it 17 or something?
17 years.
17 years. Wow, that's a long time. He's given us a great book. It's available for you out there at EWTN's Religious Catalog. You can call, but you can order it right online today at EWTNRC.com. Blue Collar Apologetics, How to Explain and Defend Catholic Teaching Using Common Sense, Simple Logic, and the Bible. I have it sitting on my desk at home, and I really enjoy it. It was great. I interviewed John on this book on television, and that's when I came up with this brilliant idea to have him in once a month. And so he is here today. He's going to be with us, as I say, the last Tuesday of every month. Call in today with your questions. We're talking about Our Lady, but we'll talk about anything you want to discuss. We just answered a question on the Eucharist, for example. And we certainly do want to give you those numbers to use. 833-288-EWTN. It's toll free for you right here in North America. 833-288-3986. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature is there. Use it and we'll get your question and we'll get your question up on the board here. If you're outside of North America, we have a number for you. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. Well, John, we have Susie with us. She's driving through Oklahoma today. Hey, Susie, be careful on the road. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling in. And you have a question for us, I'm thinking.
Yes, I have a few.
Okay.
I understand Mary was holy. She was blessed, and she had a lot of respect. I went to a Catholic church. I grew up going to a Catholic school, 12 years, 4 years in high school, all girls, and religion classes, went to church every day. knowledgeable as Catholic Church. I think the gentleman should use quotes from the Bible with his references. That's just my opinion. But I want to go further than that. I feel that, that the temple and years back with the Israelites before Christ, B.C., between the priest was the one then who was.
Are you there, Susan? Sorry, you broke out. We didn't hear you. You said the priest was the one, and then you broke out.
The mediator. Can you hear me? Hang on.
Yes.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, that's very good.
I have a new car, and I'm not sure how to turn my phone off from my car. But anyway.
I understand.
The priest is a mediator between God and man.
Right.
And he would go behind this 6-foot-wide curtain.
Right.
To see God. Well, when Christ died on the cross, that curtain was rent. It was torn from top to bottom, making Jesus the intercessor for us to God.
That's right.
It's not Mary. Mary, she's human, even though she is very blessed and she's Christ's mother.
Yes.
But Christ is the mediator between, you know, us and God. And he should be the one, I feel, that we should give the most credence to, the most respect to, the one we should learn more about and get to know as God.
Yes. Okay, very good. Thank you for your question and your comment. I think it's a good question. I think we've got probably a good comment for you as well. But I don't think we disagree with what Susie's saying.
No. Jesus is God. As God, he is way more important than any human being, even a perfect human being like Mary. God is the ultimate for us as Catholics. And you're absolutely correct. He is the mediator, as Scripture says, the one and only mediator. But here's the thing, Susie, if you could, let me ask you a quick question. Do you ever ask people to pray for you?
Yes,
absolutely. Would you say they're mediating for you then?
No.
Why not?
No, I would.
They're coming between you and God with prayer. So essentially, when we go to Mary, it's just...
Okay.
And the reason people can be mediators in a sense is because they are members of the body of Christ.
Okay, yes.
Christ is it.
Wrong. You were right about the men's, I think.
Well, that's all right. I'm not trying to make you wrong or anything. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to get you. The thing with Mary, when we ask Mary, the language of Catholics and non-Catholics is often, we use the same words but in different ways, so that can cause misunderstanding. So when someone says we pray to Mary or we pray to the saints, we're not praying to them as if they're God. And they, of their own power and authority, are going to answer our prayers. You know, instead of going to God, we'll go to Mary. No, it's not like that at all. We're asking them to pray for us. If you look at the Hail Mary, the last line, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We're asking her and the other saints to pray for us, just like you would ask a brother, a sister, a friend to pray for you for some situation. So that's the whole thing with Mary. So yes, Jesus is the one mediator, but Mary can act as in a role as a mediator because she is a member of the body of Christ. She's not the mediator, but Jesus can share his mediation with her. He can share it with us, just like he can share his healing abilities with certain people. There are certain people who have the gift to heal. Certain people have the gift of tongues. That's Jesus sharing his abilities with them through the Holy Spirit, because they are members of the body of Christ. That's the key, remembering that as baptized Christians, we're members of the body of Christ. And so that's why we can go to Mary, in a sense, the same way you would go to a friend or family member. And that's what's going on there. Does that make sense?
Okay, I understand that.
Okay.
Okay, I have another question. The Catholic Church seems to play a lot more credence on Mary than they do Christ.
Okay, that makes...
Mary's not God.
What, right.
Mary was a person.
Absolutely. And it may seem that way to someone who's outside looking in. But here's something I had said earlier in the show, is that if Catholics any Catholic were to honor Mary and love Mary as much as they possibly could every minute of every day for the rest of their lives, they could not give her as much honor as she deserves, and they could not give her as much honor as God himself gave her. God gave her the incredible honor of being the mother of Jesus Christ, of being the vessel through which salvation passed into the world. There is no greater honor that God could have given a human being than that. And so we recognize that, and we, you see that played out in our liturgy, in our practices as Catholics. And it's not that Mary is greater than Jesus. It's the fact that Mary points us to Jesus, and it's because of Mary that we have Jesus in the world. It was her yes to God that allowed salvation to come into the world. So we owe her a debt of gratitude. But like you said, she's not God, and we recognize that. And nowhere in any Catholic teaching, the Catechism, papal encyclicals, anything, will you see that we are to worship Mary, that we are to offer sacrifice to Mary, which is worship. And so we honor her, we love her. And the other thing is Jesus fulfilled the commandment, honor thy father and mother, perfectly. Mary was his mother. We're called to imitate Jesus. So we're called to honor Mary as well, just as Jesus did. So he loved her, so we love her. If there are times where it seems like someone has gotten things out of balance, that shouldn't be. But overall, that's not the case in the Catholic Church. If you go to any Mass, which is our main worship, our main prayer in the Church, it is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source and the summit of our faith, as we say. So everything flows from Jesus and everything flows to Jesus.
Yeah. I would simply just add, too, if I may, John, you know, the fact of the matter is you so rightly pointed out, John, the Catechism, Susie, the encyclicals of the Church always give us the official teaching of what the Church teaches. The fact that individuals can fall into some kind of disordered devotion to Our Lady does not in any way speak for the Church herself. And many of the saints, one of whom is one of my favorite saints of all, Saint Louis Grignon de Montfort, in his treatise on true devotion to Mary, he points out that it is a disordered devotion to Mary to place her higher than Jesus. So we do not do that. By the same token, we do not hold back extolling the Mother of God. We don't hold back from extolling who Mary is and who she is in God's plan of salvation. She is central to God's plan of salvation, and he planned for her just as he planned for each one of us. You know, it says in Ephesians 1, verse 4, for God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight, to be full of love. He chose for you to have life and me to have life. He chose a mission for us, and the same for Our Lady. And hers is the most exalted of all missions. So I'm glad we could clarify that. Do you have any other questions for us?
Well, he just doesn't talk about her much in the Bible.
But he.
And I'm not trying. I don't want to cause a. You know, I'm not trying to debate. I just don't understand. He doesn't talk about her very much in the Bible. Maybe three or four times.
Well, here's the thing: you don't hear anything about Jesus's life hardly before he was 30 years old, and so that's when his mother would have been.
That's when his teaching was.
Well, yes, but so you don't hear anything about his life. With one or two exceptions, his birth and then the presentation in the temple and then being lost in the temple. Very few things about his youth, you know, up until 30 years old, which is when his mother would have played such a significant role in his life. And so, and he didn't come to earth to talk about his mother. So just because he didn't talk about her doesn't mean that she wasn't important. And, you know, he doesn't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. I mean, you see the Spirit mentioned a few times at the Last Supper and a few other places. But, you know, so does that mean the Holy Spirit is not as important as, say, Peter, because Peter was mentioned a whole lot more by Jesus, sometimes not in such flattering ways. But so the fact that Scripture doesn't say something, you know, oh, this isn't in the Bible where we're supposed to love and honor Mary. Well, no, it doesn't say in the Bible, love and honor Mary. But it does say, you know, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The Bible does say, honor thy father and thy mother. And there's something you called in when you mentioned to the call screener, you talked about Jesus, they said, you know, blessed are the breasts that suckled you and the womb that held you. And Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear and do the will of my Father. And, you know, it seems to many, and I've heard this many times from non-Catholics, seems like Jesus was dissing his mother or disrespecting his mother and stuff. Far from it. Because if you look at Luke chapter 1, what does Elizabeth say to Mary when she is filled with the Holy Spirit? And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So Mary is first and foremost the person Jesus is talking about when he says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and do it. She is the first one in the Christian era, in the New Testament era, who heard the word of God and did it. So he's not disrespecting her. He's actually elevating her to her rightful place by saying, in essence, you know, imitate her, because she heard the word of God and she believed and she did it.
Yeah. The other part too, sometimes I hear, John, is where Jesus calls his mother woman, like at the marriage feast of Cana, you know, woman, what is this to do with you and me? And that's a throwback, isn't it, to the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis 3:15.
Yes, absolutely. Genesis 3:15, you know, where God, Adam and Eve have sinned, and God is, he's you know, given a reckoning for that sin. And he says some things to Satan, and he says some things to Adam and Eve. But he says in 3:15, and let me read it exactly so I don't mess it up. Genesis 3:15, which, as you said, the Proto-Evangelium, where the first promise of the Redeemer, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. The woman. Huh. What woman? Well, is it Eve? No, he's not really talking about Eve, because he says between your seed and her seed. This is the only place in Scripture that I'm aware of where it mentions the seed in relation to the woman. Usually the seed is in relation to the man. But here the seed of the woman. He's talking about Mary. Why do I say that? Because Mary, you know, because of the virgin birth. There was no man involved in the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. So he is, first and foremost, the seed of the woman. So when you hear the woman mentioned in the New Testament, it's referring back almost always to this passage. And God says he puts enmity between Satan and the woman. God himself put enmity between Mary and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
If Mary had ever sinned, there wouldn't be enmity between Mary. Because when you sin, well, you're basically taking Satan's side. So here we see in Scripture the woman. So it's not a sign of disrespect. It's a sign of fulfillment of the Old Testament type that you're seeing here when he addresses her as such.
It's the prophetic word of the Father right there,
yes.
Right? And so, and I love that. And I love the fact that the article "the" is used there. You know, I mean, "the" is an English word, but it's coming directly from the original language, and that specifies God knew who that woman was going to be. It's not a woman, it's the woman,
right?
So that's very specific to Our Lady. So when Jesus uses that, It is exactly, as you said, it's a sign of fulfillment. So I hope that helps you, Susie. And I think sometimes, you know, this is just simple stuff here. But when we have a problem with something that the church teaches, or in this instance, we have a problem with, you know, trying to understand Our Lady, in your time of prayer, just ask Jesus. Just say, Jesus, what do you want me to do about your mother? You know, just ask him. And I mean, he will begin to show you. And he will begin to open your heart to what it is that he wants you to know about his mother. I know that to be true. So I just invite you to do that. Let's get to Sabrina John. She is in West Plains, Missouri today, and we are eager to hear from her. How are you, Sabrina?
I'm doing great, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And I got to be honest with you, I get the M abbreviations all confused. So is M-O Missouri or is it Montana? I get them confused. Missouri.
It's M-L for good. Missouri, yeah.
Thank you. One of these days, I will learn the M's, the M abbreviations, just not today. So what's your question, Sabrina?
My question is, it's been something that's been very heavy on my heart for months.
Okay.
And so my question is, how should I respond to my husband who has, I get the impression that he doesn't have respect and love for our Blessed Virgin Mary. He kind of says it like people, you know, from a different, you know, who aren't Catholics, who say, oh, they worship Mary, you know, or they worship the saints, or they pray to them and they don't pray to Jesus. And it really hits my heart really bad that he would say such a thing. And like last week, we went to Mass. And we did the rosary after Mass, and he told me he doesn't understand why we do the rosary. And I just didn't know what to say to him, because it doesn't matter what I say to him. It's almost like he shuts himself from listening what I have to say.
Okay.
You know? And
all right, well, let me jump in here, because we're running short on time, Sabrina. I want to make sure I give you an answer. Your husband loves Jesus, right?
Correct.
Okay. Ask him if Jesus loved Mary, if Jesus loved his mother. Did Jesus fulfill the commandment to honor his father and his mother? You know, his father, obviously God the Father, but his mother is Mary. I assume he'll say yes to all those questions and then say, well, if Jesus loved her and honored her, why don't you? And then just leave it at that. Yeah. Because the thing is, you are not the one who converts your husband on this, okay? Take that pressure off yourself. You don't convert anybody. I don't convert anybody. Jeanette doesn't convert anybody. The Holy Spirit does the converting of hearts and minds. Our job is just to throw the seeds out there and hope they land on fertile soil. So you're just, think of yourself as, I'm just tossing some seeds out here. So you ask your husband, did Jesus love Mary? Did Jesus honor and respect Mary? Then why don't you? And then, and when it comes to the rosary, say, you know, in the rosary, the focus is not necessarily the Hail Marys. The focus is the mysteries that we're meditating on. So you ask him, say, isn't it a good thing to meditate on Scripture? And hopefully he'll say yes and say, that's what we're doing in the rosary. And the Hail Marys, which are from Scripture, as well as the Our Fathers and Glory Bees, they're from Scripture. They're helping us to focus our thought and to keep from being distracted and helping us to focus on these mysteries of the rosary. Isn't that a good thing? And approach them in that way. And then, like I said, just throw those seeds out there once or twice here or there, and then go and pray. Because again, you don't convert your husband. The Holy Spirit converts your husband. So does that sound like a decent approach to make?
Yes, that really opens my eyes to approach it in that way and just leave it at that. Yes, thank you.
And here's a tip on how you fertilize that soil so it becomes soil that is soft and ready to receive the word. Pray the rosary.
There you go.
I'll keep on doing it.
For your husband, right?
Yes.
Sabrina, thank you so much for your call.
Thank
Thank you, and God bless you. Bye-bye. We just have a minute left, and we've got Susan in Canton, Ohio. Susan, I'm not going to bring you on the air, but I'm going to read your question. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave us his mother. So just respond to that comment that Susan makes
there. Yeah, I think what she's saying is to give some more information to those who are not necessarily open to Mary. He gave us all, the beloved disciple he gave his mother to, and said, you know, behold your mother. Well, who's the beloved disciple? Well, it's John par excellence, but it's also all of us.
That's right.
You know, Jesus loves all of us, his disciples. And so he's giving his mother to us to take into our homes to care for and to love.
Amen to that one. Well, I'll tell you, it's been wonderful, John. So happy you're here. I think December 30th is the next time you're going to be with us. We want you to mark your calendars and come back with us. You've been listening to Women of Grace Live. Loving you. God bless you. Bye-bye now.